Tell them.
You luncheon. That ain't happen.
Oh, you went over Jacob's house?
Trevor asked, appearing out of the growing crowd, fake punching Jacob.
So you hit that?
Jacob grinned at him with a sly shrug.
Well, I don't kiss and tell, but if she wants to put it out there that she came by my spot, I ain't gonna lie.
Monday gasped, her eyes growing huge.
How you gonna lie like that in front of my face?
So did you or didn't you? Trevor challenged.
Of course she did, Shayla said, busting through the crowd.
She a hoe, just like her sister. Fucking every dude on the courts. Monday jerked back, clutching her books to her chest while trying to mask her shock. No one had ever brought up April in school before. Even I felt the sting of her words.
I didn't!
Monday yelled, shaking her head. I tugged on her arm, trying to pull her away. No one was going to believe her. Life outside our bubble was blunt and cruel, and I had had enough of it to know when it was time to retreat. Monday fought me off.
Tell him, Jacob!
Jacob huffed and rolled his eyes.
She right. I didn't bang her.
He relented with a slick grin. She said she only liked doing it with Claudia, 'cause they lesbians. The hallway erupted with laughter. Monday and I looked at each other, bewildered. The joke lost on us, while Jacob high-fived his friends.
Lesbians? Because we were best friends?
Boys can be so childish, coming up with the dumbest excuses for the foolishness that they do. But for some reason, and I'll never know why, something snapped in Monday. Maybe because he dragged me into his chain of lies, and she wasn't about to let him hurt me too. She charged at him, fist in the air, and conked the top of his skull, and then slapped the hell out of him with her books. He went face first into a locker and fell to the floor, and ooh, hissed from the other students. Jacob jumped up, enraged. He shoved Monday into a locker, pinning her. Monday dropped to the floor with a scream as he pulled her hair. The wind went out of me. At that moment, seeing my best friend dragged and thrown around like a doll, something turned inside me, bursting through my skin, and I saw nothing but red.
Get off her!
I screamed, tackling his back like a monkey, hitting his head with my balled-up fists, but none of my blows felt strong enough to crack through his thick skull. I dug my freshly painted nails deep in his neck and scratched.
Ah! Stop!
He hollered, releasing Monday to swat me off. His hand caught my cheek, and I fell to the floor with a pathetic thud. Monday sprung up at the sight of me on my knees.
Don't you touch her!
She screamed, and kicked him in the nuts. He cried out, falling to the floor, before she swung her leg back and kicked him again. She kicked and kicked, each kick to the gut more powerful than the last. Everyone's laughter turned into hushed whispers, and then silence.
Aren't you gonna help him?
Someone said to Carl, frantic.
Nah, my mama would kill me for touching a girl.
Light bounced off the sweat on her brows as she straddled him. She slammed against his head, and I caught the unfamiliar glimpse of rage in her eyes. Stunned, I couldn't make myself move. I'd never seen her so violent.
Well, someone has to help him! Shayla hollered behind me. She's gonna kill him!
But no one moved, all too mesmerized by the scene of the most popular boy in school being overpowered by a girl who up until that moment had never made much of a fuss, who some barely noticed. That is, until she stepped out of our bubble. Jacob's grunts turned into whimpers, then full-out cries as he spat blood. A teacher finally broke through the crowd, and just as we were a package deal and the ass-whooping, we were a package deal being dragged to the principal's office kicking and screaming.
It's okay. She'll understand,
I whispered on the bench.
No,
She won't, Monday said, wiping a tear from the corner of her eye. Her clothes askew, buttons lost, tights ripped, with hair pointing in every direction. She's gonna kill me. I had only been to the principal's office once before, when a boy touched my butt in front of Ms. Valenti. She dragged him by the ear to the office, and Ma almost lit the school on fire. This time, though, we'd ganged up and attacked a boy in the hallway. We sent him to the hospital bleeding. I expected Ma to be the first one flying and screaming. Instead, Mrs. Charles entered the office like a prowling lioness, glancing at us on the bench by the door. If looks could kill, we'd be a hearty dinner for maggots. Monday shifted closer to me, her color draining. I mean, what kid isn't scared of their mom? Hell, Ma still jumps when Grandmama calls after her. But the look on Monday's face, you'd swear Lucifer had walked in, the way her eyelids pulled back. Quickly, we linked pinkies.
Oh boy,
Ms. Clark muttered behind her desk and called the principal. The principal stepped out of his office with a heavy sigh.
Hello, Mrs. Charles, he greeted coldly.
Mrs. Charles held a blank face. He gave her a recap with stoic calm, all the while Monday trembled next to me. We will see if the Millers plan to press any assault charges. But for now, there is a mandatory suspension for fighting. Mrs. Charles didn't flinch at the statement like we did. She turned to us and asked,
So what happened?
Monday could barely breathe, so I jumped in first.
Jacob Miller was spreading lies about Monday, and she told him to stop, but he wouldn't listen.
Lies? What kind of lies?
Saying that they were doing it, I said.
Mrs. Charles frowned. She glanced at Monday, whose eyes were locked on the floor. For a moment, I thought I had said too much, that I had only made the situation worse, but Mrs. Charles turned back to the principal.
Listen, I don't know what you heard, but I know my child. She would never lay hands on some boy unless she had reason. She knows better.
The principal crossed his arms. We were told she assaulted him first, that she approached him in the hall.
I said, I don't care what the fuck you heard happen. Did you ask her why?
It makes no difference, he stated. We have strict rules about fighting on school property. She pointed to Monday.
You let that little nigga spread lies about my daughter? Have her looking like some hoe? And you gonna tell me?
Wait, what the hell is that? Mrs. Charles marched over to us, and I held my breath, my soul fleeing. Monday flinched and leaned away with a whimper before Mrs. Charles snatched and yanked at her collar. My heart slapped against the floor like a heavy sponge. I hadn't noticed the speckles of blood on her shoulder, leaking through her shirt.
The fuck is this?
She asked Monday, before turning to the principal.
Why she got bite marks on her shoulder?
Monday's whole body shook as she whimpered. She tried to cough out words, but couldn't even spit out air. The look on her face. All I could think about was saving her.
It was Jacob,
I cried.
He was biting her.
Monday's mouth dropped as she turned to me. Mrs. Charles released Monday, storming toward the principal.
You talking about that boy going to the hospital? Why hasn't my daughter been looked at?
The principal stuttered. She didn't say...
That little nigga gonna spread lies about my daughter? Chew up her shoulder? And you busy talking about what she did? She's a female! He shouldn't be touching no damn female, period!
Mrs. Charles' screams brought the entire office, maybe the whole school, to a standstill.
She ain't never acted up in the school before, ever! She was defending herself. I should be pressing charges, too.
The principal glanced at me. Claudia, you can go back to class now.
No! She's staying right here, since she's the only one here decent enough to defend my child. A school full of fucking adults and you letting some boy, some man, touch my child.
Mrs. Charles went on like this for another 20 minutes, and by the time she was done, Ma had arrived, and we were excused for the day, with no more talk of suspension.
So, explain to me what happened again? 'Cause I'm still not understanding,
Ma said once we were outside. Even though Mrs. Charles had saved us from suspension, there was no stopping Ma from tearing into me. I lowered my head.
Sorry, Ma. What were you thinking? That boy could have hurt you. Then what?
They fine, Janet,
Mrs. Charles said, waving her off. Girls fight. No big deal.
Huh. Not my daughter,
Ma snapped, the word slicing through the air. Mrs. Charles raised an eyebrow and shifted back to take a hard look at Ma.
Oh, really now?
Ma's eyes widened. And not her best friend, either, she added, trying to clean it up. But it was too late. Clearly she expected that sort of behavior from Monday, but not from me. And it took nothing for Mrs. Charles to recognize that. A thick moment passed between them.
Let's go,
Mrs. Charles hissed at Monday, before storming off.
Come on!
Monday jumped at the bite in her voice. Her lip trembled as she looked at me, then Ma, then back at me again.
I said come on, Mrs. Charles barked. I ain't got all day.
Monday flinched, her eyes closing as tears ran down her face. With slumped shoulders, she dragged her feet after her mother. Ma and I watched them walk off in silence, my nerves prickling. The fear Monday had of her mother didn't seem normal. The fear I had for Monday didn't feel normal. Nothing about the moment felt normal.
Ma, maybe?
Not one word, Claudia May.
Ma snapped, glaring at me.
Let's go.
Between the million and one chores Ma laid on me over the weekend, I snuck a few secret calls to Monday's house, but no answer. On Monday morning, she stumbled into school, dazed, eyes glossy, lips white and chapped, her uniform wrinkled and filthy, her flat twists in the same unraveling wreckage that they had been after Thursday's fight. No one would have noticed her condition, except for the fact that she smelled soaked in piss.
Ew, you stank,
Shayla sneered in homeroom.
They don't give you soap over at Ed Burrow?
Shit, you smell like one of them crazies on the metro,
Trevor cackled.
Monday walked through the halls like a zombie that day. Kids heckled, pinching their noses as she passed, and by third period, Ms. Valenti brought her down to the nurse's office and gave her a fresh pair of school sweats to wear for the rest of the day. The After. Dear Monday, Ma hired Ms. Walker to tutor me. Think she gonna let them put me in the learning center. Where are you? How could you ghost on me like this?
Ma, please,
I cried. Claudia, you making all this fuss for no reason, Ma said, running a knife along some red ribbon tied around a tray of frosted sugar cookies for the church Christmas auction to curl it.
Now, come on. We late.
I stood by the door, wool tights itching under my charcoal dress.
You gonna let them put me in the stupid kids class?
Dressed in a rose-colored skirt suit, she slipped on her coat and headed for the door. For the last time, there's no such thing as stupid kids class. The learning center will be good for you. You just need a little extra help, that's all. Ain't no shame in that, Sweet Pea. The name Sweet Pea felt like a pacifier, a rattle shaking in my face. She was so busy treating me like a baby that she wouldn't even try to understand that walking into the learning center was school suicide.
I ain't doing it,
I snapped. Ma stopped short to glare at me.
Listen here. I've taken enough sass from you today. You want me to call your father? I'm sure there are heaps of other chores he'd like to give you. You will do as you're told and mind how you speak to grown folk. Put on your coat and get in this car now.
Balancing the cookies, she flew out the door, leaving it open for me to follow. I climbed in the back seat. Ma huffed, turned on Good Hope Road, and headed for church. Claudia, Ma finally said after about 5 minutes of silence. Your father and I, we ain't out to get you. We just want what's best for you. I thought you wanted to go to high school.
It didn't matter where I wanted to go anymore. It was always Monday's plan, and now she wasn't around to help me, or protect me. How could she just abandon me like this? What did I do to her? Now, Ms. Walker, she used to working with students just like you, and knows a bunch of tricks to help you. We're lucky to be able to afford her at all. So take it seriously, you hear? I don't want to hear nothing about you carrying on like this up in her house. You hear me?
Yes, Ma,
I mumbled. Southeast twinkled brighter in December, with folks dressing up their houses for Christmas. Monday and I used to vote on the best-dressed house, always picking the ones with the big inflatable snowmen and icicle lights. The houses by Ms. Walker looked straight out of a Christmas picture book, with massive wreaths, red and gold bows, and roofs covered in lights. If Monday were still around, she'd vote for the house next to Ms. Walker's, with an inflatable Snoopy and a Santa hat, sitting in the middle of their yard. Ms. Walker lived about 3 blocks from church, an easy walk from school. Ma drove me on the first day, just so I could become familiar with the route. She lived in a townhouse, with thousands of pictures of her family hanging up on every square inch of wall space, next to portraits of Malcolm X and Martin Luther King. Her kitchen was filled with well-used pots and pans, and her living room was a spotless shrine for her cream sofas. The sharp edges of the plastic covers on her dining room table chairs ripped holes in my stocking every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday after school. I mean, she wasn't a bad lady or nothing. She always offered me orange juice and biscuit cookies before we started. It's just every time I stepped foot in her house, it reminded me of why I had to be there in the first place. On the first day, Ms. Walker gave me a pack of these plastic gel filters, the size of loose-leaf paper, tinted in various colors, aqua, coral, celery, and apricot. They're supposed to help me read better when I lay them over pages and books and stuff. I held them close over my face and watched the whole room turn blue, like we were sitting at the bottom of the river. We practiced reading and writing, using worksheets and games. Some were easy, some were hard. Hard enough for me to shove the books clear across the table. But knowing what awaited me at home if I acted up, I tried my best. Ma also asked Miss Walker to help me with my essay for Banneker. Once again, the prompt haunted me. That's why I had to practically drag myself up to Ms. Walker's. But that day, when I opened the gate, I found the strangest surprise waiting on her stoop. What are you doing here? Michael frowned. Looking around like he couldn't figure out who I was talking to, he stood up, carrying a large shopping bag, and met me midway, shoving a free hand in his pocket. I should ask you the same thing. I'd never seen him in regular clothes before. Heck, I had trouble believing he even owned a pair of sneakers. But there he was, in jeans, a copper sweatshirt, and a baseball hat. My tutor lives here, I admitted, trying to hide the annoyance in my voice. I didn't want him, of all people, knowing, but I couldn't figure out a lie quick enough. Oh, you mean my grandma? She said she had a new student from church. I didn't know it was you. Ms. Walker's your grandma? I asked, skeptical. I thought Ms. Evans was your grandma. I don't know about you, but I got two parents,
and they weren't hatched out of pods. Grandma, or Ms. Walker, is my dad's mom. She kept her maiden name. Strangling my book bag straps, I huffed. Well, how was I supposed to know? Ain't like I got your family tree hanging up on my wall that I stay studying every day. His eyes narrowed. Then, what are you studying? An alarm went off, loud and shrieking. What if his grandma told him how I read stuff backward? Can't have the cute boy from high school thinking I'm stupid. Whatever, I spat, heading back to the gate. Claudia, wait, he said, chasing after me. Where are you going? I thought you had tutoring. I got the days mixed up. I lied, walking faster. He jogged next to me. Can you slow down? Nope. Just hold up a second. He jumped in front of me, his arms extended as if to stop me, and my boobs ran right into his open hands. Ah! I shrieked, clutching my coat. Oh shit, I'm sorry, he hollered. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean that. Just please don't tell Grandma. A laugh escaped me. All right, I get it. You're sorry. Michael smiled. Well, now that that's out of the way, if you don't have tutoring, what are you doing for the rest of the day? Nothing. Well, you want to chill? I have to take something back to the mall for my grandma. The mall? I glanced at Snoopy's red hat. I don't know. It'll be quick. Promise. I guess. Sure. Pentagon City Mall is in Crystal City, Virginia, surrounded by a whole heap of hotels and big high-rise condos. Monday and I would beg Ma to take us to the mall on Saturdays. We didn't have money like that, but nothing beats trying on outfits in Forever 21, sampling lotions in Bath and Body Works, and eating fries in the food court. The thrill of walking around for 2 hours unsupervised, like real adults. I didn't know how I was going to explain it to Ma, skipping tutoring, taking the metro, running off to the mall with some boy, but I didn't care. I needed an escape. If only for a few hours. Plus, it's Michael, from church. Everyone's favorite goody-two-shoes, Mr. Reliable. No one would worry about him. The speakers hummed Christmas carols in every store, decked out with garland and lights. Inside Macy's, we navigated through the crowded department store, returning 2 pairs of shoes for Ms. Walker. Sorry about the trouble, ma'am, Michael said to the cashier. My grandma said these heels are too high for her. From managers to customers, Michael befriended everyone in sight. I stood back and watched him work the room. It was like he was campaigning for teen mayor. He reminded me of Monday. They could both sweet-talk just about anybody. Except I didn't like Monday being all friendly to everyone. I wanted her to myself. No trouble, young man, the gray-haired lady said as she opened the drawer to collect his refund. So nice of you to come all this way for her. It's the least I could do. That's so sweet. Okay, here's your change and your receipt. Thank you very much, ma'am. You have a blessed day. The cashier beamed. You do the same. Such a sweetheart. All set, he said to me, dusting his hands free of the shopping bag. You always like this? Like what? Like extra friendly. He frowned, crossing his arms. What do you mean? At that moment, 2 girls with long braids sauntered by giggling. Hey, Michael, they sang in unison. Oh, what's up, Kim? Jazzy Jazz from Georgia Ave, he cheered, greeting them with a smile and a wave. The girls looked me over before whispering to each other as they walked off. You know, you'd be good on the mic. I laughed. Like a rapper? Nah, like in a go-go band. I can see you shouting out, folks. Ha! I keep forgetting you still listen to that old stuff. he said as we walk into the main mall. You ever been to a show?
Nah, Mom won't let me. She's scared. Says there's too many fights and shootings happening at them. They ain't like that anymore. But as soon as I'm 18, I'ma be in the front row with my name on my shirt so they can't mess it up.
Michael bobbed his shoulders, cuffing his hands around his mouth, making his voice deep and loud.
Hey, I see you over there, Claudia, repping Southeast, South-Southeast.
Are you crazy?
I cackled. You gonna tell the whole world my...
Yo, big man, what's up?
A tall, lanky, light-skinned kid with a low cut called from behind us. Walking next to him was Megan, from dance class. We caught eyes, and a small look of panic grew across her face that she quickly wiped away. A lump knotted in the back of my throat.
Oh, what up, Cam?
Michael said, dapping him up.
Thought I heard your big-ass mouth from the parking lot, Cam said, wrapping an arm around Megan to snuggle her closer.
She painted on a strained smile.
Man, you can probably hear a tree fall in the rainforest with them big-ass ears of yours,
Michael shot back. Megan avoided eye contact. She seemed so much older outside of her dance gear. Touches of makeup, long hair pressed straight, a tight black sweater and jeans with high boots. Maybe she didn't want anyone knowing she knew me. I played it cool, like her, but I couldn't help wondering, was she embarrassed of me?
Yeah, yeah, youngin. You talk this much smack on the field?
Ha, when they let me, Michael said, turning to Megan. What's up, Megan?
Hi, Michael, she said as if laughing at some inside joke.
So, y'all doing some Christmas shopping?
Yeah, plus she wanted to get out of the house,
Cam said, gazing down at Megan with tender eyes. I wondered how it felt to have a boy look at me that way.
Hey, yo, you think you can help me with that thing I was telling you about?
The TV hookup?
Yeah, sure,
Michael said, all businesslike. But you still gotta get them cables I was telling you about, and the mount. Cam nodded. Bet. That's up in Best Buy, right?
Yeah, they probably got the cheapest. All you gotta do is...
Something about Cam's light eyes and his crooked grin felt familiar. I tried to think back to where I might know him. Maybe church, or school, or maybe he lived around the hood, but I couldn't place him anywhere. If Monday were with us, she would have known. She was good at names, dates, places, and directions. My eyes flicked over to Megan, her hard eyes locked on mine. Staring at me, staring at her man. Her cold arching eyebrow chilled me to the bone. I shifted, bumping right into Michael.
Oh, my bad, y'all. This Claudia. She goes to my church.
Cam and Megan nodded, and I managed a stiff smile. That's it, I thought. I'm just some girl from church. Why did he have to make it like I'm some kid he had to babysit?
Wait, Claudia?
Cam questioned, his brows furrowing.
Oh, right. Monday's homegirl.
An electrical shock sizzled up my arms, bouncing behind my eyes. He knew Monday. He must be from Edboro. He must have saw us together. That must be where I remembered him from. Megan cleared her throat.
Babe, I want some ice cream.
Oh, yeah, babe, Cam said and turned to Michael. My bad. I didn't mean to hold you up, cuz.
All good. Not like I'm that busy.
I swallowed back the ugly thoughts I had roasting in my brain. Fiery, hot, and ready to burn him. Megan cleared her throat again and tugged at Cam's hand.
See you Monday, Michael,
she said.
All right, later, y'all. I'ma text you tomorrow, big man,
Cam yelled.
Anytime. Cool.
Cam and Megan walked off, with Cam sneaking a second look. I wanted to follow him, to ask if he'd seen Monday and where. Once you absorbed a fraction of her energy, she was impossible to forget. But I didn't want Megan to assume I was chasing after her man. Michael grinned, oblivious. All right, you ready? We headed to the Apple store, then two other stores, and his superstar status followed us everywhere, like the whole mall knew him. What's wrong? He asked, on the escalator heading down to the first floor. Nothing, I said. My voice clipped. Maybe it was my silence, or maybe he felt the ruby-red anger sizzling off my skin. But his upbeat mood dwindled with each step. You hungry? He asked, near the food court. No, I snapped. You tired? No. You have to call your mom or someone? He asked. As we reached the end of the west side of the mall, he dug into his pocket, offering his phone. Even Michael, the goody-two-shoes from church, had a phone, and I didn't. No, I hissed, really wishing I could call Monday. The mall didn't feel the same without her. He sighed. Well, is there anything you want to do? I want to go here. I stopped short in front of a Starbucks. Here? Ain't you too young to be drinking coffee? Ready to slap the grin off him, I shouted. I ain't a baby! And I don't want coffee anyways. It's bad for you. Okay, so what are you gonna get that's any better? I blinked hard before mumbling. Hot chocolate. He smiled. Sounds good, he said, and held the door open like a true gentleman. Good afternoon, ma'am, Michael said to the cashier as we approached. Can I have 2 hot chocolates with whipped cream, please? Name for your order? Hello. Don't you recognize me? The cashier glanced up from her register. Her eyebrow arched. Michael pointed to himself. Chris Brown, the one and only. The cashier and I shared a look and shook our heads. What? Don't I look like him? He said with a wink. I couldn't help snickering. Such a clown. They make hot chocolate look so complicated, right? He said as we waited by the counter. All these machines and gadgets. I thought you liked machines, computers, and audio stuff. Yeah, but that's stuff people need. I make hot chocolate with plain hot water, powder, God's good grace, and mine turns out just fine. The barista handed our cups to Michael and smirked. Michael took 2 packs of brown sugar and ripped them open, dumping them into his cup. What you doing? I yelped, trying to stop him. Dang. What? You crazy? It's already chocolatey. So? I like mine extra sweet. That's too much sugar. Your teeth are gonna fall out your head into the sink. He laughed, taking a quick sip. Okay, Grandma. No one called me that except Monday. We sat on the bench outside the Starbucks, watching shoppers walk by with their massive bags, couples holding hands, and children running amok. People watching used to be Mondays and my favorite pastime. We'd spend hours cackling over folks' outfits, eavesdropping on conversations, and swooning over PDA. Sitting there with Michael only reminded me that I hadn't done much of anything without her. Couldn't believe she'd just ditch me like this. She knew I needed her. Knew if she wasn't around, teachers would find out about me. She was carrying me worse than Jacob ever carried her. How could she do this to me? Why hasn't she called? And why do I feel so alone? Michael interrupted my thoughts. So, like, what kind of stuff is my grandma making you do? I shook Monday out of my head. She's helping me with stuff to get ready for high school. Oh, do you know what school you want to go to yet? Banneker. His face screwed up. You want to go there? Everybody and their mama want to go there. Isn't it, like, a real hard school to get into? I guess, but that's why your grandma's helping me with my essay. What's the essay about? Why I want to attend Banneker? Good question. Why do you? I swallowed back the real answer, because Monday wants to go. It's a good school, and it'll help me get into a good college.
That's it?
But any school can help you get into college.
Well, that's what my dad says.
Yeah, I guess.
Okay. I ain't gonna front. I wanted to go there, too, he said. I mean, who wouldn't? But they didn't have football, and I really wanted to play. I was in training all summer with my dad before he left.
Where'd he go?
Dubai.
You know where that is? It's in the Middle East. I thought Pastor said he retired from the Air Force.
He did, but he works out there now, fixing planes and stuff. They paying him crazy money. He said he's going to buy me a new car, so we've been looking online together.
A car already? You too young. You don't even know how to drive yet.
Michael choked on a sip of hot chocolate.
I'm working on it.
Oh.
When is he coming back home?
He sighed. 3 years.
3 years? Dang, that's a long time.
Yeah, but the money is real good.
Michael tensed, rubbing his knees. And when he gets back, he's going to open some franchise business, and I won't have to pay a dime to go to college.
Don't you miss him?
He shrugged.
I mean, yeah, but I FaceTime and text him all day. He's seen me play at all my games because Mom Skypes him in. He'll be here in June for a 3-week vacation, and we're going to drive across the country. My mom and him always wanted to do that.
He slurped up the last of his hot chocolate. Anyway, come on, we gotta go. I told Grandma I'd have you back by the time your mom came to get you.
Fuming, I stood to face him.
I knew it! Ma put you up to this?
Nope, he laughed. My grandma did. She said she had a student that just seemed really sad and needed a friend. I swear I didn't know it was you. But I'm kind of glad now. I'm glad it was you.
With all the weight that had dropped off his face, Dimples bookended a sexy, crooked smile.
Sexy?
I just called his smile sexy. I gulped, spinning away from him, my face flushing.
Oh, and, well, what else does she tell you?
Is Ms. Walker going around telling everyone how I can't read?
He shrugged, taking my empty cup to the trash.
Just said you seem real sad, like depressed. She's had a lot of students before, but none like you.
I'm not depressed, I corrected. And I don't need anyone feeling sorry for me.
Maybe you do.
The hairs on my neck stood up, and I let out a fake laugh.
Well, I guess if anyone's gonna cheer me up, it's gonna be Mr. Popular.
He laughed and pointed in the direction of the metro.
Hey, ain't my fault people love me.
But seriously, Claudia, you can talk to me. If you got no one to, you know, talk to, I'm here.
If you want.
Here.
He pulled a pen and a crinkled up Starbucks napkin out from his pockets.
This is my cell phone. You can call me whenever.
He grabbed my hand and placed the napkin in my palm, smoothing my fingers closed over it with a smirk that made my knees weak. I bit my lip, clutching my fist tightly before walking away. I did feel comfortable around Michael, but he also felt like a sharp needle that could pop my newly airtight bubble and hurt me, just like it hurt Monday.
The before. Anytime you saw students from the West Wing head to the East Wing, you knew where they were going, the Learning Center, known also as TLC. Walking in its direction was like stepping on stage with dozens of blinding spotlights. So you had to be smart about your route. If I went down the stairs, sped through different hallways, and back up the stairs near the back entrance, I could throw people off my scent.
There were 4 teachers, and an ESL coach helped the non-English-speaking students in TLC. During study hall and after school, they reviewed homework, broke down our assignments in small chunks, and organized our class notes. Twice a week, one of the teachers would show up to each of my classes to observe. Luckily, with so many kids, you could never tell which student they were there for, and they might as well have been ghosts, the way I pretended not to see them at all. This is a big mistake, I thought, trying to keep my bitter resentfulness to myself, but it bled out my pores, oozing onto my homework. They did everything they were supposed to do to help me. But when help isn't invited, it ain't nothing but an unwanted house guest. If she comes back, if she did, we could work on our essay together, fix up my papers, come up with new moves for my solo. I wouldn't need TLC. Together, we could fix it all back to the way it was. I have to find Monday. The words skipped like a song in my head as I headed to my next class. Find Monday, find Monday, find Monday, find. Dang, I'm late for class. With my new route, it took twice as long to make my way. Running through the hall, I took the stairs by the parking lot, 2 at a time, and slammed right into Ms. Valenti. She screamed, her papers flying up in the air and swinging down to the floor like snowflakes.
Shit! Claudia! What are you doing back here?
Oh, sorry, I stuttered, dropping to the floor to help gather her files.
Keep your sorry. I said, what are you doing back here?
I'm going to social studies. She frowned, cocking her head to the side to study me. There's no 8th grade social studies this way. So where are you really headed to? I thought about all the stories, about kids making out in the hallways between classes. Ms. Valenti must have heard about those stories too. Not going to. I'm coming from TLC, I admitted. Her mouth formed a little O, and she nodded.
Ah, yes, she sighed. I heard about that.
They sent a memo last week. My head popped up.
They sent a memo around about me?
Yes, they send memos to all the team leads.
What? But what if someone sees that memo on a desk or something? Then everybody's gonna know. They're gonna think I'm stupid.
She threw her hands up.
Whoa, calm down. It was an email.
They send one monthly to the faculty on students who need additional services. My eyes blurred as my heart raced.
But what if they do? What if someone, and they...
My knees gave in, and I crashed down on the step, whimpering. My lungs burned as I tried wheezing up air. Miss Valenti sat next to me, pushing my head between my legs and rubbing my back.
Breathe, Claudia. Deep, big breaths. Come on. There you go. Just breathe. It's okay.
But it wasn't okay. The air outside my bubble felt stiff, heavy, contaminated. How could anyone breathe in this? How was Monday breathing without me? After a few minutes of heaving at the floor, my tears spilled over, my cries echoing through the empty stairwell.
Do you want to talk about it?
She asked.
It may help.
I dried my eyes with my sweater, and I shook my head with a sniff, sighing at the floor.
Claudia, you have to talk to someone. You can't keep stuff all bottled in.
How about we start small, huh? Why are you walking this way to class?
Because I don't want people knowing.
I looked up at her, feeling the tears boiling up.
Ms. Valenti, I don't want to be in the stupid kids' class.
Ms. Valenti pursed her lips. First of all, there are no stupid kids in TLC. That's just some silly rumor started by other kids who ain't brave enough to ask for help when they need it. Second, there are brilliant kids who go to TLC because they want to be the best. But I'm fine. I don't need help. Ms. Valenti patted my knee with a heavy sigh.
Claudia, I feel like I failed you.
You? Why?
Because I thought you might have had a problem last year. That's why I was so determined to work with you. But I was so caught up with exams, grading, grad school, and planning a wedding.
She shook her head.
The signs were there. I just didn't act on them the way I should have.
I scooted away from her. So you think I'm dumb too, then?
I didn't say.
First they think I'm a lesbian. Now everybody gonna say I'm stupid too. Hey, there's nothing wrong with being a lesbian. Great. Now you think I'm one too. Ms. Valenti grabbed my shoulders hard.
I didn't say that. Stop putting words in my mouth. You're letting these rumors run you, rather than you running them.
Now, I know you're not, and even if you were, that is perfectly all right. But don't let a bunch of homophobic, knuckleheaded...
What's that word y'all use again?
Oh, right. Bammas.
Make you feel like it's wrong. I have a beautiful wife and a wonderful family. So who gives a fuck what they think?
I huffed, holding back tears. I never heard a teacher curse before.
Sorry.
She chuckled.
Got a little carried away. But Claudia, I think you're very bright. You just absorb things differently than other students. But so do a lot of other people, and there ain't nothing wrong with that. I only wish I had said something sooner. Maybe I could have saved you some of the pain you're going through now. I tried to bring it up before, but folks just told me to keep you moving. Everything about this school is driven by our ranking. No one has time to just take a moment and really be with our students. You're old enough to know this now. But sometimes, all you are to this school is a score that adds up with the overall score. And the higher the score, the better the reputation. You know what I mean? I nodded.
But there ain't nothing wrong with me. There's just been a big mistake. There's been a lot on my mind. And Monday and around...
Her eyes widened.
Wait. You mean you still haven't heard from her? You haven't seen her at all?
Nah. I thought they told you.
Or someone would have told you. My stomach tensed.
Tell me what?
They talked to her mother. Her mother withdrew her from school for homeschooling. My mouth dropped.
Homeschooling?
She nodded. I spoke to the social worker a week or so ago. I'll admit, I've only met her mother twice. Found it kind of hard to believe. But it's not my place to tell a woman how to raise her child.
But she ain't even home. How can she be homeschooled if she's not even home?
Ms. Valenti bit her bottom lip.
She is home, Claudia.
What?
The social worker said she's at home.
No, she's not home. She's lying. If she was home, she would have called me.
Wouldn't she?
Yes, young lady. How can I help you? An officer sitting behind a high desk asked as I entered the police station. Not more than 10 minutes from Monday's house. I picked it on purpose. They're used to going over to Edboro. Find Monday. Find Monday. Find Monday. Ma and Daddy won't listen. Mr. Hill ain't no help. And something ain't right about that social worker's story. No way Monday would be home and not call me. I can't go over there again without getting in trouble. But the police sure can. I cleared my throat, giving him my best adult voice.
Yes. Hello. I'm here about a friend who lives in Edboro. I think she's in trouble. Can somebody go by her house?
Trouble?
She hasn't been to school, and no one's seen her. The officer frowned.
So, she's missing.
The word missing pops like a hard hand on a conga drum.
No, nah, I coughed. She's not missing like that. She's, I just don't know where she is.
What do you mean, like that?
A tall, balding man dressed in gray slacks and a white business shirt approached, stepping between us, smiling at me.
Relax, Warren. I got this, he said, balancing a stack of folders under his arm.
Step this way, young lady. Let's have a chat. I'm Detective Carson. What's your name?
Claudia, I said, following him to his desk.
Okay, Claudia. I overheard you mentioning your friend is missing. Want to tell me what's going on?
I told the detective everything, about Monday not showing up for school, and how her mom and sister were acting all weird. The detective nodded through my story, leaning back in his chair, hands folded on his belly.
Shouldn't he be taking notes or something?
Have you talked to your parents about this?
Sort of.
Okay. He chuckled. Tell me, how do you know for sure she's not home? Have you been inside her house?
Nah, but she ain't there. I just know it. And her mom keeps saying she ain't home.
Maybe she's living with another relative. Maybe her father.
I shook my head.
Nah, she would have told me.
He smiled.
Well, sometimes family business is family business.
It ain't like that, I said. Not with us.
Okay. Let's say she really is missing. Do you know if her mother filed a missing persons report?
There's that word again. Missing. Why does it sound like a squealing brake before a car crash?
Nah. She's not that type of mom.
He frowned.
Trouble at home?
Just regular stuff.
Okay. Is it at all possible she ran away from home?
What? Nah. She wouldn't leave me like that.
He shrugged. Sometimes girls run away from their problems, rather than ask for help. I wanted to scream no, but then I thought about the bruises, and my tongue latched itself to the roof of my mouth.
Carson sighed, rubbing his bald head.
Claudia, I want to show you something. Follow me.
We walked toward the front of station, to a large bulletin board hanging by the door, filled with missing persons flyers, detailing names, dates, ages, and locations, along with photos. Staring at the wall of bright, smiling faces, I couldn't escape one glaring fact. There was nothing but girls on the wall, and they all looked like Monday.
Is your friend on this board?
I held my breath, scanning the wall again.
No, but she's not missing like these girls. Or, I don't think.
I want you to take a good look at this board, Carson said, his voice hardening. Over the last few months, we've had dozens of girls around here reported missing. Close to 50 in 1 week. Alleged kidnappings, when most of them just run off away from home, 'cause they can't do what they want.
But shouldn't you still be looking for them anyways?
He opened his mouth, then closed it, clearing his throat.
Yes.
But Claudia, I want you to remember. When you come into a police station, claiming your friend is missing, it means us officers have to take our focus away from these girls. Girls who could really be in trouble.
Tears prickled, and I avoided his glare.
Now, if your friend's really missing, and she's not on this board, then only a parent can file a missing persons report. And if her mother won't, the only person left would be her father, or a legal guardian. I sucked in a breath to keep from crying. Everyone was looking for these girls, while I was the only one looking for Monday.
I swear, every year your father buys the biggest tree and expects us to manage it alone.
Ma stood on the step ladder next to our Christmas tree, her arms stretched, attempting to hook an elf near the top.
Either this tree is bigger than last year's, or I'm shrinking.
I sat on the floor, surrounded by strands of half-working Christmas lights and boxes of decorations, adding new hooks to the ornaments, replacing the ones that had rusted over the years. Ma's favorite soulful Christmas albums grooved over the speakers. Nat King Cole, Jackson 5, Temptations, and Vanessa Williams.
You're not that tall to begin with.
I laughed, detangling a ball of ribbons.
That's no way to speak to your mother, she said, smirking.
Okay, hand me another one. I jumped up with two wooden nutcrackers. The tree already filled with snowmen, ballerinas, black Santas, and glass candy canes. Ma loved Christmas, so the tree had to be perfect, or Christmas would be canceled. Monday used to help us decorate, untangling lights and scattering tinsel. Just the thought of her made my heart ache. Missing. I held my breath until it burned in my chest. The word frightening. Is she missing? Missing from my life, yeah. But is she, like, missing for real? She couldn't be. She has to be home. Right? Ma?
Yes, sweet pea?
I want to do homeschool. Ma's neck snapped, the nutcracker held out in midair as she froze.
Girl, what are you talking about?
I gulped, twisting the ribbon around my hands.
I mean, can I do homeschool?
Homeschool? Are you crazy? I can't stay home with you. I have to go to work.
She hung the ornament hard, the branch popping back up, almost knocking the other ones off.
But Monday is doing homeschool.
Ma placed her hands on her hips. If Monday jumped off a bridge, would you want to do that too?
Absolutely not, Claudia. I can't believe you'd ask for such a foolish thing.
I slumped back down to the floor by one of the boxes and peered inside. My stomach curled up with dread. There were only four ornaments left. The most beautiful ones, with the ugliest history.
And, well, you can't get no proper education with homeschooling. Not with you needing extra help and all.
She sighed, her voice softening.
Sweet pea, you just need to stay in school. It's what's best right now.
I nodded, sliding the lid on top of the box, hoping she wouldn't notice, hoping she wouldn't ask for any more ornaments. Maybe this is the year I'll break them, shatter them so we don't have to look at them anymore and remember. But Ma would never forgive me.
Hey, you know, Ma beamed, trying to soften the mood. You haven't said a word about what you want for Christmas this year. I was expecting your 2-page list by now.
I shrugged, my face falling limp. I didn't want anything. I just wanted my best friend back. Ma stepped back to admire her work. The tree belonged in a catalog.
Beautiful. Just one little spot right here.
All right, pass me the next one. I swallowed, bracing myself.
There's only four left,
I mumbled.
That's okay. Just hand me one of the...
Her whole body jerked as it hit her, eyes widening.
Four.
She gasped out the word.
Well, okay then. Hand one to me.
I sighed and opened the box, taking out the four crystal angels, specially made for the four angels we lost. Ma took an uneasy step toward me, peering into the box like it was an open grave. Holding her breath, I carefully unwrapped the tissue protecting the first angel. She held it in her hands. She studied their delicate features before her fingers began to tremble.
I can hang them,
I offered, springing up.
No. It's okay.
I got it, she murmured, drifting back to the tree the way God hangs stars in the sky, gently placing each one on the branch. She stepped back to admire her work. There.